But why is it that some of these guys that are so effective in this one hand over here went down to such sin? It could be what I'm talking about here. We have got to become empty. We have got to be willing to take anything God taps and leave it at the foot of the cross. Peter, you're a big, strong guy. But it's your strength that's going to get you in trouble. Do you remember on the night that Jesus was taken? What did Peter do? Shwing! He pulls out the sword. Because he's good at that. We know when we're weak or deficient or perhaps lacking. That's when we go to the Lord on our knees. Oh, Lord, cover my weaknesses. It's harder when we're about to move in our perceived strengths. Peter put the sword away. Praise God if you are saved, but I'll ask you the Jacob question, are you subdued? Verse 4. If you are finally subdued, if you have wrestled your suitcase to the cross, now here's the next thing that will happen. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When we are totally disarmed of all of our excuses, we quickly realize another crucial revelation. Oh my, I have to take responsibility for my sin. Remember when Adam ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You remember that? And God had said pretty clearly, don't eat that. God asks Adam, Adam, who told you you were naked? More specifically, God says, where are you? Was that an information gathering question? Or like always, when God asks us a question, it's an opportunity for us to fess up. Take responsibility. Adam, did you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that I told you not to? Do you remember Adam's response? The woman! And then he goes, the woman that you gave me? So it's not only Eve's fault, who else's fault is it? Humans are great at hiding and hurling responsibility. If you are truly willing to be emptied, then you're ready to take responsibility. And this is an opportunity for repentance. But you don't know my upbringing. You don't know where I've been, the terrible injustices and injury done to me. I'm not trying to discount that. I'm just saying, are you using it as an excuse? Why? You get to stay broken? These are instructions for invasion here. You got to be emptied. Put your suitcase at the foot of the cross, and it wants to hop back and grab you. You got to keep wrestling it back. Then blessed are the mourn. You're going to be comforted. God's going to say, I'm not mad at you. I love you. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I looked up that word for earth, and I was expecting the Greek word cosmos. Cosmos is kind of the system that the humans have put together. It's where we're going to get our word cosmetic. Pastor Chuck, he was asked by one of the wives one time, should women wear makeup? His answer was, well, if the barn needs painting, paint it. Amen. Cosmetics comes from that word cosmos. It's the world system that humans have made. That's not the word here. The Greek word here is ga, and it means where the plants and the animals and the humans live. It's the earth. What does this mean? Blessed are the meek because they're going to inherit the earth. In the millennial reign of Christ after the great tribulation, this is what is going to happen. The meek, those people who have done this process, they're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. Meek here does not mean weak. It means ability under control. It's the picture of a huge, tall, broad, muscular stallion of a horse and a rider on top of the stallion. Well, who's stronger? The stallion is. But when the stallion obeys the commands of the rider, that horse is being meek. Is that horse physically weak? No, not at all. He has an ability to do a lot of stuff, but he chooses to come under the control of the rider. That's this word here. Jesus, remember, he's the star maker. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, lowly in heart." And I wrote, said the star maker? Remember when he's on the cross and they're hurling insults at him? If you're the Messiah, come off the cross. Could he have? It wasn't the nails that kept him pinned to the cross. It was his love of a coconut by the name of Steve Hadley that one day would bow his heart. That's what kept him on the cross. When you and I, filled with the Spirit, first emptied, now mourning, we are finally meek. We are ability and opportunity under the control of the Lord. We've given the steering wheel back to Him. And when we do, oh, God says, now I can use you. Which brings us to the next one. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're going to be filled. First, I'm emptied of my yabbats and my suitcases. I'm willing to die to whatever God invites me to die to. Number two, I'm mourning for my sin and am comforted. Number three, now God begins to use me. There's absolutely none of me and all of Him. He uses you mightily. Moves in your heart to do A, B, C, you do, you realize you had nothing to do with it. Years and years ago, I worked at an office over on Terminal Way, and our day began at 8 a.m., like many of yours do. And everybody hits the door at the same time. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Hold the door, thank you, thank you, thank you, and you walk through, and we hut, 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 and we walk down, and then they would peel off to their offices, and eventually I would sort of end up with two gals that would then peel off the office right in front of ours. This happened for probably about a year. And I remember one time, good morning, how are you? Thank you, hold the door, thank you, thank you. And they peel off, have a good day, you do too. Ding! Something touched my heart. Tell this one about me. Okay. Next morning, good morning, how are you? Good, open the door, thank you, good, have a good day, have a good day. And then here's the two ladies and they're about to peel off and there's a thing. Steve, talk to her about me. I'd really like to, God, but That happened for probably, as I recall, maybe a couple of months. And if I recall correctly, these two gals carpooled together. And I got there early, and I was even reading my Bible, because somebody had said, if you start your day with Scripture, good things happen. So I'm going to give it a shot. So in my car, I'm reading my Bible, and I look up, and here the two gals came. They happened to come early that day as well. I can hear the Lord go. I brought them a little early for you. I got one more chapter of your Bible to read, Lord, and then I'll be right with you. Within a week of that, I had gone to a restaurant where I was eating lunch, and I'm eating, and I look up, and there are the two gals again in the same restaurant. Now would be a good time. I finally realized I'd better do this because this is a God thing. So I picked up the phone. I happened to know what the name of the company was and the names of the two gals. And so I called over and I said, is so-and-so there? No, she's not here. And when do you expect her back? Well, she's not coming back. She resigned today. Thank you for inserting all of the sound effects. So I was like, but she's coming back to the office to gather some stuff. When she comes back, could you have her call me? And so the gal said, yes, I know who you are. You're not too creepy and, you know, you're all right. So the end of the day, I didn't have anybody sitting in the middle office, and then, Steve so-and-so was here. I said, good. So she's sitting there and she goes, do you want to talk to me? I'm all, heart, all the moisture in my body escaping through the palms of my hands. And I said, you know what? I don't want to sound weird or freaky deaky, but I think God spoke to my heart about you. I'm expecting, pa-ha! Here's what I got. Eyes got wide as saucers. What did he say? Then I said, it's pretty simple. He loves you. He knows about your situation. And he has a purpose and a plan. And she fell apart and started to weep. And she is literally crying so hard, she's leaning forward like this. And so I'm with a tissue. When she could finally compose herself, this is a true story. She said, I can't believe you said that to me. Because today I was going to kill myself. True story. That's kingdom stuff! It took months for me to finally muster. And when I did, but she'll think I'm a weirdo, I'm a creep, and all my own biases. And when I laid it at the feet of the Father, wrestled it all, emptied myself, and I let God use me, I saw a woman get touched and filled. I led her to the Lord right there. She came and started attending our church. She eventually moved back home with her parents. She was going to kill herself that afternoon, and God used this coconut, this goofball. You guys, that's kingdom stuff. Now, after that, the next time I felt that little unction of the Lord, what do you suppose I did? I'd like to say, and I jumped right on it. When you're emptied of your abbots and your suitcases, when you really figure out that in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing, and that God pours his mercy out, and I personally am comforted that I know you're a goofball, Steve, but I love to use goofballs. Then use this goofball, and he did. And I tasted his kingdom, and I saw his power. I was hungry for more. Look at the progression. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. Penetrating question today. If I find myself not being hungry for his presence, that's not an indictment. I'm just letting you know, you might be filling up on junk food from another location. If we plug our eyes and ears into the world, no wonder we're not hungry for him. Now verse 7. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. After you have been emptied, after God is using you, you know what you've been forgiven of. Husbands, have you ever noticed that at work, a time or two, you might be tempted to come home and pour out on your wife? Ooh, that boss of mine. Man, he treats me with no respect. I give him ideas after ideas. He kind of looks at me and kind of goes, okay. He doesn't listen to me. He doesn't give me credit. He doesn't give me respect. Husbands, question. Would your wives say something similar about you? Oh, no, he didn't. God sees that. Not your job to nag him back into submission. God says, you need to give that lunkhead over to me. What you reap, you will sow. And if you are reaping mercy, you're going to get mercy back from God above and oftentimes the people around you. Verse 8, and then blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Because you've emptied yourself of self. You've died to your suitcase. Filled with his Holy Spirit, moving in his mercy. Everything you pray for now, everything you do is now from a pure heart. And believe you me, you will see God moving. James chapter 3. Jesus' half-brother, look at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? You may not thrust your hand up, but there's a party that goes, this guy. Let Steve show by his lifestyle, good conduct, that his words are done in meekness. There's our word. Ability under the control of the master. But, in contrast, verse 14, you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts. Do not boast and lie against the truth. This kind of wisdom does not descend from above. God didn't give that to you. But it is earthly, sensual. Put in parentheses in their margin, what does it feel like? I'm moving after what feels good. It's earthly, it's sensual, and it's demonic. There's a little part of opening the door to the satanic in our lives when we say to God or anybody else, yeah, but. Verse 16, for where there is envy and self-seeking, where they exist, look at the fruit, confusion and every evil thing are there. Now verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness, all that we've just mentioned, is sown in what, everybody? Peace. There is peace in you. There is peace around you by those who make peace. Back to Matthew, and we'll zoom to the end. Blessed, verse 10, are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sakes. I wish verse 10 read, if you do all of these first seven blesseds and beatitudes, just punch out, get off the clock for God, and kick up your fuzzied feet there at the spa. That's not what it says. If you do all these things, here's what's coming. You are going to get it. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not a popular sentiment in the seeker-friendly church environment. I wonder if being emptied and die to your suitcase, being replaced to bring us your suitcase, find your passion and your purpose, will Jesusify it, and then you're going to find the fruit by finding your purpose. I wonder if that's not a bit of a counterfeit. You won't ever find our real passion until we're emptied first. If I'm doing this right, I'm going to see God's kingdom stuff, and I'm going to take some hits. One more little bit of information. Cruising through the book of Acts this week, Paul, I've been three times the cat of nine tails, 39 lashes, rocks pounding off of my skull. I've been in hunger and in thirst, and I've been in danger of robbers. I've been in danger of all kinds of stuff. I did it all for the gospel. You know where most of his headaches came from? Most of his problems came from the religious Jews around him. If you do these first seven steps, step eight is coming. Don't be too freaked out when most of it comes from other churchgoers. Why do we come here? It's an important question. Do I come because of the soaring worship? Do I come because of topical sermons designed to address my felt needs? Am I wanting to sign up for the stimulating small groups designed around similar interests? And really, I go because God wants me satisfied and thriving. With great respect, that is not what I read in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 10 and 11. How did Jesus end up in his ministry? On a cross. And every one of these disciples were martyred for their faith. According to Matthew 5, verses 1 through 16, the end point is you live the light. You have instructions for invasion. Now, I'm going to probably take a lot of heat for this, and oftentimes it's going to come from other Christians. The law of sin and death, Romans chapter 8, the big three, you got Satan, your flesh, and the world. It hates anyone living in the light. Stop being salt. That makes others thirsty what you have. Stop being light. Verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. If you're being persecuted because you're being a jerk, that's not what it's meant here. Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Verse 13. And you are the salt of the light if you can do these things. But if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Then it's good for nothing. It's thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. It becomes road fill. And if you are the light of the world, you're like a city that is set on a hill. It can't be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light harvest. Let my light so shine before men. Why? Here is the end point of why we go to church. So that they, who is the they? In darkness and destruction, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The church is not a spa to make us feel better. The church is a beachhead. And the invasion started here, the Sermon on the Mount. Lord Jesus, some tough words. The process begins on this beachhead. Here is your weaponry. You got to be emptied. Here's how you're going to survive this beachhead. You've got to mourn and repent for your sin. You've got to leave your failings at the cross. I'm not mad at you. I love you. You're going to make it. Then comes the meekness. Then I begin to use you because you got your hands off the steering wheel. And then you see me doing kingdom stuff and you're wrecked for anything else. More of that, Lord. More of that, Lord. You touched me to fast and pray for my prodigal. And then within a few days, they called me and said, Mom, I don't know why, but I know that I need to repent. Where did that come from? That's kingdom stuff. And then you're hungry for more. More of it, Lord. More of it. You're pure in heart because you're not doing the driving. You've set your suitcase at the foot of the cross. And then you become a peacemaker. Everywhere you go, you're leaving puddles of the kingdom behind you. Don't be upset if you start taking some hits. But hang in there and just keep showing up. In Jesus' name, amen.